Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Yeah, okay. You got
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio. And not just another edition, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 400. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. 3 years, 400 shows that I digress. We are here tonight to do hashtag smack my picks up for UFC Fight Night 148, also known as UFC Nashville, which is, of course, Stephen Thompson versus Anthony Pettis, coming at us March 23rd, 2019 at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. Right. Hopefully your boy Showtime will get to this event. But let's go ahead and get to it, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Proteus. I will be here all night. With basically what we're going to do this evening is give you our picks for UFC Fight Night 148, hashtag smack my picks up. Then, of course, we are going to get into not so much Amp Radio Rewind this week, but we're going to do a lot of news and notes in the second segment of the show because there is a lot of news to speak of this week. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get to the cast of characters that I'm usually here with, ladies and gentlemen, every Thursday night coming at you for Smack My Picks Up. We are down one usual cast member on this particular show. DJ Tony will be showing up a little bit later. But let's go ahead and bring her in.
All right, we'll wing it. Hi, guys.
Oh, man, this is...
Yep. Hey, y'all.
What?
How's everybody?
How are you?
I am so congested. North Carolina is the land of pollen right now. I can barely breathe. I am so congested. I'm like a wino. I've got a bottle of cough syrup in my purse, and I just keep opening up and just taking swigs out of it. That's how bad it is. So if
right.
I sound
That's
worse
fantastic.
And raspy, man, it's the pollen here. And I have to say something... to you and Marco, mostly. Do you remember watching The Godfather? I'm going to take a line out of that. Don't ever take sides against the family again. We're talking about Masvidal. So, hey, y'all.
Happy Thursday, Pammy. You don't have to be mad at me because I didn't go against the family. Hang on. I'm
going
to put your drop in right now. Okay? Hang on one second. And we'll bring Marco in just one second. 400 shows, Pammy, and you've been a part of a lot of those shows. So congratulations to you as well. And of course,
how fun is that?
That's pretty cool, man. Let's go ahead and bring in the star
that's
of the show
cool.
right now.
Deep from the heart of Texas.
Marco Fumeca, brother.
Marco from Wake Leroy, you didn't miss my drop though. I don't feel special anymore. Okay, well,
so.
Congratulations to Am Radio, man. 400 freaking shows.
Isn't that fun?
Who knew, man? Who knew? The little friend I could.
Everybody pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, the little train that could. That's right, Marco. We've been here.
Yep.
We've been here every week, pretty much, unless there's been no events for almost 3 years, man. And obviously, as you can tell, we've been pushing out them shows because 400 is nothing to sneeze at for any show. But as you'd like to say, Marco, why don't you go ahead and give us your famous words?
It's talks on MMA, bro.
That's right. So let's go ahead and throw into that now. Go ahead, DJ Tony, and cue that music. As I said, ladies and gentlemen, UFC Fight Night 148 coming to us from Nashville, Tennessee. Drove through Nashville, Tennessee, coming back from Florida. Tennessee is a beautiful state. We've talked about it before on the show. I won't get into it. To the welterweight division we go. Steven, the Wonder Boy, man, Thompson, against Anthony, hashtag Showtime Pettis. Let me go ahead and get into their records here, guys. Of course, nothing on my computer is working tonight. Great. Oh, and Darren Till comes up. That's even better. Never mind. Let's get into the odds, Pam. As you mentioned, the odds right now are coming in Stephen Thompson is the favorite at a minus 370. This is from Five Dimes, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. Anthony Pettis at a plus 310 coming back at us. So, Marco, we're in the main event here. Why don't we throw directly to you? Anthony Pettis moving up, of course, in weight to fight Stephen Thompson. What do you got going here, brother, in the main event?
I don't know if I should be doing any predictions lately because with my dismal record of 1-3 last week, another 3 the week before, another 3 the week before.
Yeah.
I am sucking. I'm drowning here, buddy. I'm drowning. But
I noticed.
Okay. I'm going to put a little bit of logic here, you know. I was there present. Everybody knows the night that 3D Tony Pettis lost his title to Rafael Dos Nachos. And that night, my baby girl, Angelica, was conceived. So there.
Yep.
So, shame on you, Tony Pettis. Shame on you. I don't know, man. Look, I mean, that one says it all. It's almost 4 years that, you know, Tony lost his championship. And ever since then, ever since Rafael Dos Anjos took a piece of his soul, pretty Tony hasn't been the same, man. He tried to go to featherweight, didn't do well there. Went back to lightweight, didn't do well there. I mean, granted, the people that he had lost to, they are all freaking killers, you know. Dos Anjos, Tony Ferguson, I mean, you name it. He lost to the who is who of the freaking division, you know. But
absolutely,
deal, man, not a good look for Pretty Tony, and this is just another patch, man. He's a natural 155er. He's going to be a way under some 170. I mean, Wonderboy Thompson is not the biggest 170, but you will notice a freaking difference on fight night, and it's going to be entertaining because it's going to be mostly standing fight. I mean, there's no way in hell Stephen Thompson is going to throw a double leg. He doesn't do that. I'm pretty Tony like to keep it a standing. So we must see some cool shit. But then again, we might not. I'm picking it, Wonderboy, just because of the frame difference, the weight difference, the trend of pretty Tony, win, lose, one. This is a patchwork. I don't like the fix. I mean, he puts me wrong gray because I always been a fan of Anthony Pettis. But I think Wonderboy is going to his style on him. He's not going to knock out Anthony Pettis. He doesn't get knocked out easy. He's very durable. But he's going to outpoint him, man. I mean, especially with his counterfighting style. Freaking Wonderboy is an elite striker. I mean, working boxing champion. And we know the credentials. So I want to pick Wonderman Thompson. A 49-46 unanimous decision, dude. I'm going to give one round to Pretty Tony. It is a five rounder, but I get Wonderman a 49-46 decision.
And, of course, it's not called championship rounds anymore, Marco, for non-championship fights. What are we calling them?
Main event rounds.
That's right. Thank you very much, Marco. All right, so, Pammy, let me go ahead and give you the records of these two gentlemen. They've got Stephen Thompson down at number 3, of course, in the welterweight division, 14-3-1, putting it up against Anthony Pettis. They've got him slated in as number 8 here. I think maybe that might be a little bit of a mistake. I think that might be his lightweight ranking, 21-8-0, both gentlemen from the United States of America.
That is his lightweight ranking.
I'm just here on the UFC website, so yeah, that's what I figured they were doing. But you know, Anthony Pettis coming in against the number 3 guy in the division, Pammy. What do you got going on here in the main event? Do you feel the same way as Marco?
Well, you know, it kind of seems like Stephen Thompson is the experimental rat for everybody. You know, Darren Till. You know, let's put him in at 185 or 170, whatever you went down to, and now Anthony Pettis. Let's try him out against Wonder Boy. But is he from Tennessee? Because he's the only 10 I see. I'm kidding. Anyway, I get it. He's a Carolina man. He's a Southern boy. You know what? I really like Stephen Thompson. Anthony Pettis, his fight with Tony Ferguson, which I was there for, it was so much fun. Man, that was kind of like the old, you know, Anthony Pettis was back. And according to his pattern, his win-loss pattern, it's actually time for him to win a fight because he's win-loss. He lost to Tony Ferguson, beat Michael Chiesa, lost to Dustin Poirier. So it's like a pattern, you know. One, Jim Miller, lost to Max Holloway. One, Charles Oliveira, lost to Edson Barboza. So it's, you know, so according to the pattern, he should win, but I don't think he's going to. I think Stephen Thompson, once they hydrate back up, I think Stephen Thompson, he's just too big. He's too tall. I mean, even though he's only 6 feet tall, 2 inches taller, but he's got that 3-inch reach advantage. He's got that 5th-degree black belt in Kenpo karate, black belt in kickboxing. He's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu versus Anthony's black belt. But still, I think he just has too many. He's just a little too polished, and I think this is not going to go decision. I think it's going to be a third-round TKO. Wonderboy's last TKO was 2016 with the post-USADA Hendrix. So it's about time for him to get another TKO. So third-round TKO, Stephen Thompson for me, please.
Yes, I've got that for you. And, Marco, I've got this one for you real quickly. I did this last week for you or on Sunday show, so I'll drop it here real quick.
What's that?
What's that? Oh, my God.
What's that?
Perfect.
That is funny.
Yeah, we're dorks. For the three of us here, guys, I think it's going to be a clean sweep. I'm also going with the Wonder Man. I think, you know, Marco, you bring up good points. You know, we cannot discount Anthony Pettis's previous fighting acumen. And, of course, he's a very good fighter. You know, he's very flashy. He's very good on the feet. He's famously known for the Showtime kick, you know, running off the cage and getting – yeah, exactly. So that was the last WEC fight in history.
That was forever ago, man.
I know, against Ben Henderson. That was forever ago. I mean, Ben Henderson was still in the UFC back – or, well, that was – went in the WEC. So
the
Ben Henderson's no longer –
the last WEC fight ever.
That's correct.
And close the choke with that, yeah.
A counter-striker in – what we've seen of him lately, he's more prone to wait and see what's happening. And Stephen Thompson is exactly the same way. I mean, look at what happened with Thompson and Woodley. I mean, there was a standoff until, you know, something happened and not much happened in those two fights. So I don't think that this is going to be that way though, Marco. I think it's going to be very exciting. Anthony Pettis is going to want to come out there and get busy early and try and get into Stephen Thompson's face because, of course, we know Stephen Thompson has that, you know, laid-back karate style that he uses so well. And as Pam mentioned, you know, the kickboxing skills of Stephen Thompson are very, very high as well. So I think this one gets done. I think it gets done early. I think it gets done in the first, guys. I think too much for Anthony Pettis right here. Stephen Thompson, as you mentioned, Marco, isn't the biggest welterweight. He has a bit of a hard time with the cut, but always seems to be able to rehydrate well. So I think that's going to be the case here again. He's going to be the bigger, stronger guy, and he's going to take Anthony Pettis out early. I think it's going to be a TKO in the first for the Wonder Man for me. Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on to the co-main event of the night. For the heavyweight division we go. Curtis Blade versus your boy. Justin Willis from AKA. Let me go ahead and give you guys the odds right now. Curtis Blades is at a minus 250, Pamela, and Justin Willis coming back at us at a plus 210. Before I throw to you, let me go ahead and give you their stats, if I can, quickly. This new website is brutal, UFC. Brutal.
I don't even use it.
Curtis Blades.
It's horrible. Horrible.
Curtis Blades, number 4 in the heavyweight division, ranked 10-2-0 with one no contest against Justin Big Pretty Willis, who's coming at us at number 10 in the heavyweight division, 8-1-0. Pammy, what you got going on here?
Mm-hmm. In the co-main event? This is going to be short and simple. Curtis Blades takes him down with the first round TKO.
Boom. Oh, wow. Okay, you said that so first. You said that so fast. I couldn't get it down in time.
Well, you know why? You know why I said it so fast? Because I did it in order, and I did the Chito Rivera fight. You see what I'm saying? So But looking what I'm looking at, I'm not changing my mind. That those Curtis Blades at the first round for KO. Bazinga.
Okay. Fair enough. What do you mean you did it in order? You had a Chito Vera fight. What I don't understand what that means.
I was looking at. I went through because I was on Sherdog because I was working today, and I went through Sherdog and the way the fights were listed. That's how I did it.
Okay. Because that's not how they're listed on the UFC. No worries. Yeah. That's okay. No worries. I got you. Okay. So I wrote your name down again here. I'm having a great show tonight, guys. So I'm going to go next here in the co-main event, Curtis Blades versus Justin Willis. I think this is going to be a tough fight for Curtis Blades. As we know, Marco, Justin Big Pretty Willis coming out of AKA with a reputation of trying to hunt down Daniel Cormier. You know, we've heard that, you know, there's been definitely some competition between the two guys, and I think that's good for Justin Willis. You know, iron sharpens iron, and of course Curtis Blades, excellent fighter. I mean, you don't get to 10-2 with 1-0 contest and be in the UFC and not be good. But I just think that this is Justin Willis's coming out party. I don't think it's going to go all three rounds. I'm going to take Willis by second round KO. Straight up, Marco. Straight up KO.
I hear you.
I throw to you, Marco. So, what you got here, buddy?
So, Frank here giving me a Sheldon Cooper reference, Bazinga. Look at her. Sheldon, Pamela Sheldon Cooper from North Carolina. Oh, God. Oh, well. So, man, I've been struggling with this fight. I know Curtis Blake wants to take the bad taste of his mouth of the loss against Ngannou on his last fight.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the favorite coming in. But then Ngannou did what he did, you know, and then he did it again against Velasquez. So maybe we got a new and improved Ngannou. You know, the story is still
maybe
reading on that. Yeah, but a lot of people are helping Justin Willis out. This is his first high-profile fight. I mean, he's taken on number three. From 10 to 3 is a big jump, man. I mean, I guess the UFC has is keeping an eye on Willis. And, you know, either way, I don't know. I'm not sold on the guy. Yeah, you train with Velasquez and you train with Cormier. But that doesn't mean you really fight them. And this is a fight. And Curtis Blaze is an elite wrestler, too, man. So it's a difference between wrestling on the freaking training room and wrestling on a fight. I think Curtis Blaze is going to take this one, man. For as much as the high praise of freaking Willis has, he hasn't fought the quality of wrestling. And, I mean, I'm picking Curtis Blaze, man. Until Justin Willis proves me otherwise, I'm picking Blaze. He's a more non-commodity to me. He got the more quality wins. Prompt for a freaking title shot. I mean, we would have been talking title shot if he beat Francis Ngannou. So I'm going to pick Blades, and I'm going to pick him with a second-round TKO, man. He's going to be able to ground Willis, eventually tire him out, and then ground on punching him to get the TKO win. Second-round TKO for Curtis Blaze.
I think that Willis's wrestling has got to be pretty top notch, especially just coming from the camp that he's at. But I mean, interesting take. I'm not gonna argue with you here on that one.
Like I said, it's a difference between training wrestling and fighting wrestling.
Yeah.
And Willis has not had the credentials that plays that. I mean, he can be a really good. He's basically a boxer that learned wrestling. He's not a wrestler that learned boxing. So it's a lifetime of a difference in there. So that's what I'm picking, Blaze. Just the pedigree and the fact that he's not a proven commodity for me just yet.
Yep, absolutely. And with your record, he might just do that. A Badoo.
Oh, hell no.
Oh,
no, nothing.
You be seeing
me on the Stop. Oh, no, you didn't. All right, guys, let's go ahead and move on to Spotlight Fights of the Night. What I'm going to try and do tonight, guys, is I'm going to try and give the odds as well for your Spotlight Fights of the Night. So, Marco, let's start with you for your Spotlight Fight of the Night, everyone's favorite segment, Spotlight Fight of the Night. What you got, brother?
I know what the new button is. So, I've been struggling with this. I mean, it's not really much after the main and the co-main on this car, but...
Really?
I noticed that Lucier Formiga is on this card, and he's fighting as flyweight. He's ranked right now as the number one contender for flyweight. And we're going to talk about it on the next segment about what might happen to flyweight and bantamweight. But Lucier Formiga wants to make noise, this is time to make it. I mean, he's fighting another Vecina Figueredo, whatever, I don't know.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Formiga's taking this fight. He's going to take it on by submission in the second round. And then he needs to make some noise. He ever wants to get a title shot right now. Otherwise, it's going to go away for him. I mean, it's a race in between him and Benavides. Ray Bormai, but who knows. But the time is now. The whole landscape has changed in the last 24 hours, man. So for Megan, second round submission.
Okay. And let me give you the odds on that one real quickly. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. He is at a minus 135 for Miga coming back at us at a plus 115. So maybe the odds maker's trying to get some money on this one coming in the other way. Pammy, let's throw it to you, and then I'll Pammy, what you got for your spotlight fight of the night?
Okay, well, I just got to let you know, one of my favorite people is fighting, and I was going to choose him for my spotlight fight, but I changed my mind. I'm going with Bryce Blowout Mitchell versus Bobby Moffitt. Remember him?
Yeah.
You see the one that blew out his testicle?
The muscle man.
Yep.
The muscle man.
So, and, you know, both of these guys are submissionators. I mean, submission specialists. Bryce Mitchell, 10-0. Bobby Moffitt, 14-3. I think I'm picking this. I don't think each of them is going to out-submit each other. So I am picking Bryce Blowout Mitchell with the decision win.
Over the
muffin. All right.
What's
over the muffin.
Do you have any odds on that or not?
Yeah, I'm just going to give them to you right now.
Okay.
We got Bobby Moffitt at a minus 165 right now and Bryce Mitchell at a plus 145 coming back at us.
Okay.
Thinking against the muffin man.
You know the muffin man, right? The muffin man?
Who lives on Cherry Lane?
Shit. That's
there
all
we
you
go.
Had to
thank
say.
Thank you very much, Pammy. Thank you. I'm going to have to disagree with you, Marco. I thought there was some good fights on the undercard. Even, I mean, you've got Alexis Davis, Random Marcos versus Angela Hill. That should be a pretty interesting fight. I mean, Angela Hill is a great fighter.
Oh my God, that's a lie.
And Random Marcos hasn't really been impressing me lately, except for her outfit that she wore at the open workouts was actually quite revealing. So that we, you know, as we know, we all like that. Thank you, Tony. But I think I'm going to focus on the main card as well, and I'm going to go to the John McDessie fight against you don't say it Jesus, you say it Jorge. Is that how you say it? Pinedo? Is it Jorge? If it's spelled Jesus in Jorge, right? In Spanish, correct?
It's Jesus Pinedo.
Jesus.
Correct the mundo.
Thank you very much. Why was I saying Jorge?
I don't know.
Anybody know? Anybody?
I don't know. I think you're thinking of Mazu Dog. You're thinking of a three-piece in a soda?
There we go. We'll get the three-piece in a soda in one moment. I do apologize. John McDessie coming at us as the favorite is a minus 310 against Pinedo at a plus 255.
Jesus.
And I'm going to sit. I'm never going to live that one down, am I?
Thank you, dummies.
Jesus, exactly. Everybody's just going to be yelling Jesus at me. Okay, so I'm going to take McDessie here, guys. I think it's going to be a good fight. I think McDessie has been learning over his past couple of fights, you know, what not to do. You know, getting knocked out and getting his jaw broken is probably not the smartest thing to do for this guy. Again, he needs to stick to what he's good at. Pick this guy apart and be the bull. I'm going to take him third round, and I'm going to take him third round TKO. Pammy, I got two three-piece in a soda. And a
correctamundo.
Insert that drop right there, Tony. You guys mentioned last week's fight card, so let's just touch on it real quickly. As I mentioned to you before the show started, Pam, you did take down the championship this week. Contended by myself. Marco, you had an abysmal week, as you mentioned, and so did DJ Tony. But let's go to this right real quickly, and let's touch on, Pammy, because you want to touch on the three-piece in a soda. Me and you both took Masvidal. Of course, you picked it exactly right, TKO in the second, or KO, sorry, in the second, and that's what happened. So let's get you to touch on that real quickly, Pammy. Go.
Well, it's like, I told you guys, I think – you know, Masvidal is a certain kind of crazy that I don't think that Till was prepared for, you know, especially when he said, I'm going to knock your head off. And Masvidal said, that's not going to happen, but I appreciate, you know, I like your spunk. And his eyes just lit up at the thought of it. So I think he's just a different kind of crazy that, and very, I think he is very underrated, you know, and I think that's what happened. I think that Till thought that he was just some like street fighter, and Masvidal's got skills, you know. You got to admit, he's got some skills. So I was pleased. Pleased.
And I wanted to apologize to the listeners because I went on a whole rant on Sunday's show about how Masvidal should be next for Nurmi, and of course they're not fighting in the same division anymore right now. But no, I think that you make a good point that Masvidal's got skills. He's not next in line. I think Covington is next in line for Usman. But I do believe that they should not waste Masvidal right now. You know, with the three-piece in the soda, Marco is printing out the T-shirts right now as we speak. You know, I think if they do not ride this wave of Masvidal's popularity, and I think
Connor's already thrown his hat in that ring.
Yeah, this is what I was just about to say. Mm-hmm. I was about to say that, and I was about to throw to Marco to get him to comment in on this as well. Marco, I think that's a great fight to keep Masvidal in the conversation. Of course, Masvidal says, let's do it in Ireland. Great idea, right, Marco?
Yes.
So, you know, shape and a haircut. Now we got three-piece and a soda. Masvidal did, I guess, everything right last week. I mean, he was a media darling in London, in the UK. Everybody wanted to talk to him. He did great on the freaking workouts. I mean, he was doing everything right, the press conference. Wow, impressed with the guy, man. Now, he was winning the last until he lost it. And, I mean, kudos to Masvidal for his toughness, you know. And then the way he adjusted in the second round.
Right.
But can I say, man, the guy is a veteran of the game. He's finally settling in on his weight, 170. The book is still to be written because the top guys are all wrestlers, you know. I think he's going to have trouble with Askren, Covington, or Usman. I mean, enter Demian Maia. But that is a conversation for another day. But when it comes to strikers, he can strike with anybody in the planet. You are stupid if you don't think that the Leon Edwards Masvidal fight is not next for them too. It's already the promo just for itself. You're gonna see that the handle of three pieces and a soda from here until eternity. They're probably gonna highlight Ireland or another fight night because you know that's the way it's gonna be. And then we can talk, you know, either number one contender or title shot. Depend on how the freaking landscapes come out. I mean, Ben Askren went to freaking London to freaking get the fight with Masvidal or Till, and Leon Edwards just took it from him because Masvidal, you know, couldn't get his cool on live TV, man. But it's okay. I mean, I don't matter it. Leon Edwards, Jorge Masvidal is a great fight. Ben Askren is going to have to fight himself another opponent. But yeah, let's do it, man. Three-piece and a soda. What can I say? It works. Like, where is it? Where the t-shirts being sold, man? I got to go online and start. I gave me one already.
I figured you were printing them down there in, deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, but he lives in Florida, brother. So it's a Florida thing.
I don't trust anybody down there in that state. Never mind. Let's move along. Okay, guys, you did mention, let's touch on this real quick, Edwards Masvidal had a little bit of a scuffle in the back. What did you think about that live on TV? Did you think it was very WWE-esque, Pammy, or what?
Funny, because I was just, you know, we were watching the interview, and it was everything calm and cool, and then it was just so funny. He was like, excuse me, and he walks over there with hands, you know, with his hands behind his back, and then pow, and I'm like, what just happened? It was such a, it was crazy.
Three piece of soda.
But, you know, yeah, for real, you know, and it's like, why are you talking shit, you know? But hey,
that
was crazy.
Let me chime in real quick. I do not condone the action because if it was any other fighter, he might be already out of the UFC. I mean, enter Paul Bailey, you know, or if it was somebody that you know we dislike, if it was a Kobe Covington or even a Conor McGregor. we would be talking so much shit about it. Like, whoa, he's some professional. Why did he do that? I did not like how Masvidal went about it. He should have just ignored Leon Edwards. Maybe talk some trash and stuff, but there was no need for him to go to him and then three-piece in a soda. For promotion at that
point? Well, on his behalf, he did have his hands behind his back.
It doesn't matter. He shouldn't even approach Leon Edwards. That is the point. He was in the middle of an interview. He should have just kept his cool. Edwards was talking shit. Let him be. Because your moment was in front of the camera. Now, I don't condone the action, but can he have behind his back or not? Doesn't freaking matter. He should have never done it because that is assault. That is assault.
Yeah.
Whether you want to, the press charges or not, that is still assault. But for promotional purposes, I like it. Because they're going to show it all over the place when the Leon Edwards virus fight happens. It's going to be promotional, but practice not to use that piece of footage. They're going to show it everywhere. Like they used the dolly for McGregor and freaking Habib. They're going to use
indeed.
It too. How they use the freaking...
You know, and he said that
whatever.
Himself. Yeah.
He said that
they were going to use it for
promotional
purposes.
Yeah. Masvidal should count his blessings because he was in London. He was not in the United States. That the freaking London Commission, you know, didn't decide to press charges against him because then he could have been on real trouble. He should count his blessing. You know, let's be very aware of that fact. So,
yeah, Edwards declined to press charges.
Mm-hmm. So, don't condone what he did.
Okay,
that was stupid. That was very unprofessional. The guy was doing excellent all day, all week, and then he took his shine away. I mean, but. It is what it is now. We're going to enjoy it anyway.
Absolutely. I agree 100% with everything you said.
What the hell's going on out here?
And let's get to the news, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so let's start at the top. TJ Dillashaw is no longer the champion at 135 pounds due to an abnormality, is what they're calling it, Marco, with not only the New York State Commission, but also with SADC, with the pre-fight testing. Dillashaw has given up his belt. He's not going to hold up the division at all, which, in my opinion, you got to give him props for that, but maybe he knows something that we don't. Marco, let's throw to you. What you got on this piece of news?
Okay, so New York wasn't really the one that tested negative on that. It was USADA, and USADA forwarded the results to the New York Athletic Commission, and New York handed Dillashaw a one-year suspension and a $10,000 fine. So, for all intents and purposes, adjudication has already been made. USADA should not get involved anymore because he's already been suspended. Now, this is just my opinion, you know. Whatever the facts are, they're going to be laid out later. They haven't disclosed what he tested positive for because with the new USADA policy, unless it's the fighter himself discloses it, they keep that private until everything is adjudicated, until everything gets sorted out. You know, then they can do an official release. If TJ Dillashaw vacated his belt, I think there is more fire to this smoke than we know. Because if he was really, really, truly innocent, he would have fought it. But I think he finds himself within a rock and a hard place. It was either that or get a strip, you know, because we already know he's going to be gone for a year. At the minimum. And this whole single thing going up to 125, and this is just my wild speculation. I got no basis for this. He didn't test positive for anything before that or after the fact. He tested positive in the competition window within the 12 hours before and the 12 hours after the fight. Or the 24 hours before, 24 hours after the fight. So led me to believe that he probably don't have some diuretic to lose the final freaking pounds that he was probably having trouble with. Because remember, Dillashaw looked like freaking dead on on the freaking scale. So this is my speculation. He probably tested positive for some form of diuretic, and that's what he being hamped up for. Because he wasn't trying to gain muscle, he was trying to cut a shitload of weight. So that's probably what he's being punished for. I mean, it's a shame because Dillashaw is a great fighter. I was looking forward for him fighting Moraes, or even a second fight with Seguro at 135. But now we're going to have to put him on the shelf for a year retroactive to January. So we won't see him until at least January of 2020. Of him vacating the belt is the right thing to do. Let the division move along. Moraes and Aljamain Sterling by logic, should be the next freaking fight. And flyweight, me seguro don't go to bantamweight. If you are really the savior of flyweight, you know, this just gave the flyweight division for another 10 to 11 months. Defend your belt. You got Formiga and you got Ray Borg right behind you, and you got Joseph Benavidez, that is a ready-made fight because you already beat you once to for you to defend the title and keep freaking flyweight alive. So, seguro, still flyweight. At least defend once a flyweight, and let's sort out the mess that is wrapped up right now with freaking Marlon Moraes and Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah, and I think that we heard from Cejudo's camp that they are eyeing that rematch with Benavidez at 125 pounds. I just was reading that on Twitter earlier on. So I think that that's what you say, Marco, is great there.
Well, the funny thing is when you saw that, I don't think he was taking any kind of, like, performance enhancer. I think, like Marco, he was doing something to cut weight, not gain weight. And the funny thing that because, you know, Cody right away chimes in with his stupid stuff. So now that makes you wonder, okay, you know, like you know that saying, if you point one finger, two fingers are going to point back at you. So now that what that same team alpha male, three fingers point back at you, telling me that somebody's in it was juicing also, like Cody himself. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's interesting, and I had heard that, Marco. I had heard that same rumor that, you know, perhaps it was a diuretic, and it does make sense. I did say originally when everyone was discussing this fight even happening at 125 pounds that TJ has never fought ever in his life at 125 pounds, so it seemed very odd for him to take that fight. But again, he wanted to be the champ, and whatever.
Yeah.
That seems to be the era that we're in. Let's move along to the next segment, ladies and gentlemen, to the next topic.
Just in retrospect, what a mess would have been if he would have won that fight and then this happened.
Right.
What a
mess. Yeah. Well, did you
and
see
again,
that picture
his performance.
Of him? Yeah, did you see that picture of him where he's sitting at the table and he's got just, I mean, like 8,000 pill bottles right there in front of him. So.
Yeah.
You know, to me, like I said, I just think he was trying to cut weight, not, you know, because whatever he took didn't enhance his performance by any means.
And again, we know that at this kind of weight-cutting time, that anything that may be in the body, especially if you're stressing it out to the point that TJ Dillashaw has, I mean, if we're to believe the science that is about John Jones, then we have to believe that this could come up with other fighters. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like if you're in that weight cutting zone and you're really aggressively cutting weight, like TJ did, putting your organs on the line and you know, bringing your body to that almost death state, then maybe something might show up. And hey, I don't know. Like you said, Marco, the new regulations from USADA, we may never know what actually he popped for. If he wants to take that year off, take the suspension, give up the belt, don't hold on to, you know, hold up the division. He's good enough, Marco. He's good enough to come back and win again. He's one of the top fighters.
What you got?
That's right. Thank you. All right. So it was released again. I think it was about 24 hours ago, Marco, maybe more, that Dana White did a bunch of interviews. He did one with John Morgan announcing that the UFC was moving to a contract with ESPN Plus that would make them the sole provider of pay-per-views moving forward. And of course, let's add an addendum to this one as well. They also added two more years, Pammy, to the contract with ESPN. So business seems to be booming on ESPN and ESPN Plus for the UFC and ESPN. Pam, what are your thoughts on this one? All the pay-per-views now have to run through ESPN Plus. Is that something that you want to do?
You know, well, I have ESPN Plus right now, and you know, like the other day we were watching the fight, and I was having issues buffering. You know, so I'm like, what the hell, you know? So
yeah.
What I'm wondering is, what about all these bars that advertise for the fights and things like that?
Right.
You know, now they're going to have a lot of people do that.
Let me jump
that.
In real quickly, Pammy.
Okay.
Pammy, let me jump in real quickly on that one because I do have the answer to that one for you. There is still a deal for bars and such that they can go to the UFC and get those contracts settled with the UFC. So bars that carry the UFC will not be affected. They will not have to go through ESPN Plus.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just, you know, how much more are they going to nickel and dime everybody? You know, a lot of people didn't because they didn't want to pay for the additional app. Now it turns out that now in order to watch a pay-per-view, you have to buy the app. So what is that going to do for pay-per-views? Is that going to, you know, is it going to deter people from buying the pay-per-views? Or, you know, because I know they had that special if you bought, I think, if you paid X amount of dollars that you got one of the pay-per-views for free, I think that's what it was. But, you know, I don't know. It seems like everybody's trying to app you to death. And you know,
yeah,
like you said,
okay.
The Bellator app is going up by 50%.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll get to that as well. I think that that's a good point. Maybe we should address that now, that DAZN has upped their prices by 50% if you're a monthly subscriber, if you buy for the year. They've lessened the cost a bit. Marco, let's throw to you because there's lots to consider here. Pammy brings up good points, you know, not only for the consumer, but for the fighters. What does this mean for the fighters as well? I mean, if you're a fighter who's got points on pay-per-views and nobody wants to buy through ESPN Plus, what does this mean for the champs? Marco.
So I don't think the sky's falling. I say this is a trend of the times because everything is going to streaming services.
Sure.
So let's break this thing down. ESPN, they're not stupid. They like 2.5 months. I mean, this is unprecedented. They only been 2.5 months officially with the UFC since they launched, and they already extended it for another 2 years. They threw an additional $600 million to the already $1.5 million contract they got to add those 2 additional years, plus the licensing fees for freaking pay-per-views. So let's say, you know, this is particular because I don't know how much they asked for the licensing fee. They say they add another $100 million a year for that. So there is an extra $700 million for the seven-year deal. Not counting the fact that they're going to get revenue. And I think the revenue share of the pay-per-view is going to be very favorable to the UFC because everything started when DirecTV did not want to negotiate with the UFC to lower their share to a 30-70%. And the UFC says, okay, you go kick rocks. And then Comcast and the Time Warner freaking out and all the other cable providers came to the negotiating table. They didn't want a deal. And so they said, okay, we just take it to – they want to originally take it to Fight Pass, but ESPN said, no. We'll take it. So the people at ESPN really like what they're getting. These are not stupid people. They are spending a shitload of money to get these licensing fees because the promotional muscle of ESPN and their badge, I don't think it's going to affect the buying rate as much, you know. The regular pay-per-views, you know, the normal ones might get affected a little bit, but when the big players come to town, the John Joneses, the Conor McGregors, you know, the Brock Lesners, you're going to see a boom in freaking buys on ESPN. And believe me, they will let you know. All that said, man, I mean, the additional 2 years, you know, the fact that Ari Emanuel re-signed the contract with Dana White for 7 more years for the guy to be the president of the USC. So we get him Dana White for the duration. This is a boom. Yeah, business is booming with the USC. People are getting upset because people don't like change. Because, you know, I got ESPN Plus. They're going to lower the price of the pay-per-views from $65 to $59.99. So basically, the price of the freaking subscription for that month, they're going to take it into consideration. So instead of paying $65 for the pay-per-view, you're paying $60. So you shouldn't complain too much for the pay-per-view. Plus, they're going to be able to bundle it. If what Dana White said is true, you know, I take that with a grain of salt, but if they can bundle it and lower the prices for those pay-per-views nobody want to see really, even better. Because it's a one-shop stop now. People that want to go to TV Busters and Hooters and stuff, they can still do it because commercial cable providers are still available. And the guys in Canada, this shit does not affect you, motherfucker, so you don't complain. This is only for the United States. Only in the United States. And then you got that song that just, no, it wasn't a 50% increase, it was a 100% increase because they doubled the rate from $9.99 to $19.99. Now, I don't know what they're doing, but now I definitely will get in that song. But you know, they don't got anything in there that enticed me bad enough to buy that song. But I'm not getting about the deal with ESPN Plus because they got a lot of content in there. Not only the MMA, they got boxing, they got MLB, Major League Baseball, basketball, and you name it. It's the time. The way the times, man. The way the times. Get used to the streaming thing because that's the way things are going.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting into the streaming business.
Pam, ask your question quickly, please.
Oh no, my question was, you know, in pertaining to that. Okay, so what if people decide, hey, you know what, I'm not going to download the app, I'm not going to buy the pay-per-views via ESPN Plus, and say you get, you know, 200 people would rather go to a bar. So you get, like, all these people that could have had ESPN Plus and bought the pay-per-views, and now you're getting all these people that don't want to do it and into a bar to fight. So does that decrease the amount of pay-per-views? And does that decrease the amount of pay going to the fighters, the pay-per-view points going to the fighters?
You got to understand that the way they sell commercial cable providers like bars and stuff differs from the ones that come. Like a bar, you're not going to pay $65 for a pay-per-view. They pay, the calculation goes the capacity of your location, you know, they calculate full capacity. Times, you know, they pay a pretty penny to get that penny.
Yeah, they
like,
pay more.
If
we pay $65, a bar will pay $10,000 or something like that to get the pay per view because they are going to get their money back with the drink, the people buying drinks, and people freaking eating, and paying the cover charge. So yeah, it's a completely different equation when people go to bars.
Okay,
quickly, guys,
that.
let me slip in here, guys, because we got to end this show soon, and I've got one more topic that I want to get to, but I do want to weigh in on this one as well. Okay, so years and years ago when we first started this show and we heard Lorenzo Fertitta say that Fight Pass was going to be the Netflix for MMA, I thought that was a great idea. It's taken us a number of years for, you know, the mainstream and for even the UFC and the UFC's owners to get their fucking heads around the fact that streaming services are the wave of the future. Marco, you're right. You're absolutely positively right. And I've been saying this when the WWE came out with their model, I said, the UFC needs to do this. This is what needs to happen. This needs to be the industry standard. You can go back in the archives. We've got 400 shows. I've been saying it for 400 shows almost that this is what needs to be happening. Now, how does it affect the fighters? No idea. No one's consulted them. No one gives a crap about what the fighters have to say or what they think because the UFC is doing what's best for them and what's best for the UFC's owners because they owe a crap ton of money. And, of course, that crap ton of money is just increasing and increasing the more money they start spilling into this. Now, like you said, Pam, will people not want to buy ESPN Plus? Probably. I can't see that people would want to go through the effort of having to pay, for ESPN Plus, just to watch the UFC. Yes, there's a lot of UFC events that are on ESPN Plus. So, I mean, what we're on, what, 8 now already? And so there's going to be a lot of content if you're a UFC fan. And that may be something that attracts people. I don't know. But I do also think Marco, quickly, just let me finish because we've got 5 minutes left and we got stuff, we got to move on. So, I got a lot to say about this. And one thing I think putting it through ESPN, a big company like ESPN, kind of like Bellator does with Viacom, is this may weed out illegal streaming. This may be a way to curtail that from happening. Because if you've got a big company like ESPN behind you, Disney and all that stuff, there's a lot of money coming at you. And that may be an easier way for them to track you to see what's happening. Marco, quickly, what you got?
According to ESPN, they already got 2.5 million subscribers on ESPN Plus, so that is just
fake news.
To them.
Hashtag fake news.
Okay, you take it to ESPN, I'm Mickey Mouse, so they'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, quickly, guys, I think, you know, ESPN is a big name, and like you said, Marco, like you've been saying for the duration of since the inception of the ESPN era, You've been saying this. It's great for the sport. So I don't disagree. And maybe it will be good. And maybe putting all their eggs in one basket will be good for them guys. But I don't know. It may just force people in the interim or in the first little bit to go towards illegal streaming. And that may also, be easier for them to find those people that are doing that. Okay, let's move on real quickly, Marco, because you did mention this in your breakdown of this. So let's go ahead and do this drop real quick.
What's up, everybody?
That's right. Dana White has been brought on by the UFC and its the Empire to extend the deal, the ESPN deal, so that they have faith, Marco, in Dana White moving forward. And as if we're to believe what Dana White says, they have big plans. What are your thoughts on this? And what do you think about seeing Dana White for the near future? Not showing up at all the ESPN Plus shows because he's got to go to basketball games. But what do you got going on, brother?
Okay, so I'm not going to hate on Dana because, we do a lot of that. Eddie Emanuel is a very smart man. I mean, he's a multi-billionaire for a reason, And the guy has been running a successful companies all his life. His brother is the mayor of Chicago, worked with the Obama administration, whatever. Eddie Emanuel is super smart, and he knows the value of Dana White on the UFC. Plus, Dana still holds an 8% share of the company, too. So, it's good to have him on the fold. If he extended him for 7 more years, there is a reason for it. I mean, the ESPN deal is huge. It's humongous. I think it's game-changing on the industry. And the fact that they're giving him this vote of confidence and they signed this deal like a couple of days after the a week before the new ESPN deal was freaking ironed out, it tells you a lot about the way they think things are going. They're making money hands over fist right now. I mean, I told you already, the ESPN deal alone is already worth $2.1 billion. Never mind the licenses fee for freaking the pay-per-views. Plus, all the licensing fees around the world, TSN and BT Sports in the UK, and all the networks around the world, they're pulling about $700 million a year of licensing fees alone. The days of thinking that the pay-per-view was their freaking main revenue stream are over. They're making all the money on licensing fees, and believe me, when the freaking deal for freaking Reebok comes up, you're going to have Nike, Adidas, the parent company of Reebok, and Under Armour taking a good look, and the next freaking sponsorship deal is going to be way bigger than $70 million. Way, way bigger, because you got the ESPN muscle behind you. You got the blessings of Disney, They're making money hands over fist, so don't cry for me, Argentina, that you see making no money, because they already got guaranteed money for the next 7 years. And the pay-per-view is icing on the cake. So don't even feel bad if the pay-per-view is not doing good on ESPN Plus, because they got guaranteed freaking money, That is just the bottom line. It's good for the sport, man. Dana White, for better or for worse, we call him Lord Dana for a reason, because the guy can be a dick sometimes, and some of the moves that he makes, we scratch our heads. But for better or for worse, all the moves that he can make have grown the sport and have definitely grown the UFC. So we have him for another 7 years, man.
Yeah, again, as much as, like you said, as much as we like to hate on him, he's definitely, as he calls himself, is a genius.
That's it? I thought you were
I was trying to do a drop, bro. I was trying to do a drop. Pam, what you got going on in this subject?
Well, I'm just remembering that interview he did where he couldn't even get the days of the month right. So, did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
It was so funny because he's talking to somebody. I forget who he's talking about. He's like, we've got April, May, June, August, September, October. And I'm like, okay. But anyway, I'm going to take Marco's famous words. You know what? It is what it is. And I don't know. I'm just hopefully maybe he can get his head out of his ass and get to the way it used to be where rankings and belts did mean something. Because there are those of us that like that aspect of it where, the rankings and the belts did mean something. Janelle?
I do know. And it'll be interesting to see moving forward, Pam, you know, the legitimacy of ESPN kind of brings that back into the fold. I mean, that's why they brought the rankings in Conor McGregor done changed the game, and Ronda Rousey changed the game. And
to be fair, 90% of the time, we always get the rightful number one contender. I made this argument before.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, once in a while, we get these super fights and these freaking fights that make no sense. But 90% of the time, when it comes to the championships, and we're going to the number one contender fights, they get their fights right, man. I mean, yeah, we get upset when sometimes fights don't make sense. But most of the time, we get the fights that that's supposed to happen.
Real quick, I'm going to give you guys a heads up so you can start prepping. World Naked Gardening Day is the first Saturday in May, so y'all start doing your crunches and your sit-ups.
All right. Well, I'm not wearing any pants right now, so I guess I'm preparing already. So,
nice.
All right. So I wanted to give a quick shout-out to Bellator 218. It is going down tomorrow, March 22nd. Of course, we did not give it any love until just now. But before we close the show, I wanted to say that. So tune in there on DAZN or wherever it is being shown. Tammy, let's throw to you.
Yep.
You have a Twitter follow or a guilty pleasure of the week. What you got?
Guilty pleasure, March Madness, go Blue Devils. Amen.
Who?
That's what's up.
Who? If y'all don't know,
who's your daddy?
Pam and I have a rivalry going back and forth. You know,
since
I'm
forever,
a North Carolina
huh?
fan, and she's a Duke fan, and I sent her a nice picture of me wearing my North Carolina hat the other day. It's actually my Twitter picture right now because I felt so good about it, Pammy, that I needed to put that on there.
And,
yeah,
and
so
I put you in your place.
I mean, I don't know if I really pay attention to what you're saying with those. I don't even see that. Are you wearing a blue shirt? I don't even notice. I don't even know what's going on.
Bow down.
I will absolutely, positively never. Absolutely, positively never. Okay, guys.
Are you wearing a shirt at all?
Oh, all right now.
You know what? I'm gonna put like pasties, like Duke pasties on, and I'm gonna take a picture. How about that?
All right. Yeah, that sounds great. I love that one. Anyways, moving right along. Lightsaber. Proteus' shower pick for this week. I've added it on to the playlist. If you want to see this playlist, it is available on my YouTube music under Proteus. That is the correct spelling of Proteus. Unfortunately, my Twitter name, not so much, is Stranded by Gorid. I don't know. Gorgeria. I've been doing a lot of just randomly looking around for music, and I don't know the names of the band, so I apologize. But it's a great track. Check it out. Stranded. Marco, go ahead and get us out of here for the week. What you got? Guilty pleasure. You got Twitter follow. What you got?
So, big shout out to Border George and Ghost because they took today and tomorrow off to watch March Madness. So, those guys have to get
it. Of course,
they
do.
Mark Madness is a freaking thing to watch this weekend, you know. Of course, enjoy the fights on ESPN Plus, and I guess that's on tomorrow. That's a racing price. Now I definitely not getting you. But follow Tony. I have to get Tony. Your absence upsets me today, Tony. Don't do it again. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow Pana Pandora Balls. Follow me at Margo Marco. Follow the show on another app. Follow the show at another MMA cast, Rate and Review, Snuggleheads. You are on Google Play, iTunes, you name it, Blog Talk Radio. Give us a good review, comment, you know, tell a friend. So we need more listeners, you know. So you are an MMA junkie like we are, not trademark. You know, give us a follow. Listen to the show, subscribe. With the religious guys, catch you again next week. Enjoy the fights.
Thank you very much, Marco. And I just wanted to along that sentiment, thank you everyone for tuning in lately. We've had the numbers have been great and been increasing. So thank you all very much. And just like that, Tammy.
See ya. Out of here.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.